Thanks. Thanks for the welcome. What a word, thank you. Somehow I want to try and link what you said, because it's so important. And you said that God does not waste crisis. And all that you said was brilliant. Praise God. And God's put that on your heart. And I know that so many of us don't soak in God's word, and then we live with the consequences of not soaking in God's presence with God's word. And the picture of being over a steam bowl with your towel over you is an absolutely brilliant one, because it's exclusive. There's nothing else getting in the way. And you're there for a purpose, to imbibe that. And it's good that your wife reminded you, because we always do what our wives tell us, don't we? You said that yourself a few weeks ago. Amen. And the reason for that, this is my link, and it came to me. The reason why God does not waste crisis or crises is hope. And that's what we're talking about today. It's hope. Hope is mega in the Christian life. I'll take those off. Hope is massive, because I have learned personally, and it's not all about personal experience, but also God's word, you know. But I have learned with God's word that Jesus is hope. You know, we have a meaning in the dictionary for the word hope, and it's something like the expectation of something good or grand. You know, but that's kind of human hope, really. But it follows in the spiritual, supernatural sense. Why shouldn't it follow that God has got something grand? And that grandness is Jesus himself. God is hope. It's not that we're waiting for some thing to land upon us or do something and make life different, but it's Jesus who is our hope. His body on earth was hope. He gave hope to so many people, and he gives hope to so many of us. A great choice of songs, by the way, today. I absolutely love them. Spoke so much of hope. And we're talking in our series, this next little bit, I'm down to about 5 minutes here, so you're going to have to excuse me. I'm just going to read some of the scriptures that God gave me, and I'm going to just expand them a little bit and throw my notes away. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23, we'll read that. Last week, Gareth brought a reminder of our identity in Christ, who we really are, and who we really are changes things. If we really are in Christ, if we really are, we really do have this lover and this hope in us, Jesus, then we take that everywhere we go, and it's our identity. Who we are or what we have or have not, hope changes things. Hope is regenerating. Hope is invigorating. Hope, this is godly hope. Hope is envisioning. It's even healing. Hope is, this hope of God is reproductive. So you take hope somewhere, you take Jesus who is in you somewhere, it's reproductive in every situation and people that you engage with. Hope, imagine hope being reproductive, that wherever you go, wherever you take the soles of your feet, you take hope with you. If you've been under the towel, in the steam of the Holy Spirit, you imbibe hope and you take hope with you. Wherever you go, say to the person next to you quietly, because you haven't got your mask on, you take hope wherever you go. Okay, let's read the scripture. And I'm going to read the scripture for today, but then there's another scripture that God gave me a little bit later on, which I think is the crux of it all. And it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23 goes like this. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation, which I love more and more because it expands the Aramaic and puts more of the inferences in that Stoic English can miss out. Not that it's not true, it's just that it makes it so much more enjoyable. Because of this, which you spoke about earlier, you can go back to the other verses, if you like. But since I heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, let's savor this. Let's not just read it as a scripture reading. That blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's the Bible reading. Let's just savor every single word of this. Ever since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you in Smethwick, your tender love towards all his devoted ones. My heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God. That's what hope does, you see. Hope gives... Oh, I won't preach. I'm just, I said I'd read it and I'll read it. Your tender love toward his devoted ones. My heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you. As I constantly remember you in my prayers, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him under the towel, in the steam. Intimacy with him. It relies on intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate your eye, the eyes of your imagination. So imagination's okay. Just be illuminated. Be illuminated, that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light. Okay, overflowing and now flooding. All right, overflowing and flooding. With flooding you with light until you experience, here we go, experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. Do we need to say any more this morning? Is there anything else that we can get excited about? This is mega news. That you experience the... that was a bit high, wasn't it? You experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is... If you don't understand that, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us. He finds them in us. Tell the person next to you, or you can catch up with, it's in us. If you love Jesus, thank you, Vera. Thank you. If you love Jesus, it's in you. If you don't know him, you can have it. You can have this hope. You can have this overflowing. The wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually, these words are incredible. You will continually, I used to love preaching about the more than God, more than anything we could ever expect. So, you continually experience the immeasurable, this immeasurable, right? You can't measure this. You might think I'm going crazy here, but I absolutely love this portion of scripture. You can't contain this, can you? Even English people can't contain this. This is uncontainable. You might want to sit there all nice and meek and mild this morning, but this is fire. Fire refines us. And I'm just trying to find, this is the mighty power which God released. When God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme, Gareth touched on this last week, it's place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Do we really realize who we're in with this morning? Do we really realize what we've come together for this morning? This realm, which is higher than any, it's so pure and holy, and we can come into it. Oh, man. I'm not going to ask you to excuse my enthusiasm. Mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead. Can you imagine what power that needed? And exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler. Another amen. Above every ruler, above your boss at work. Above anybody who seeks to put themselves above you. That doesn't make you arrogant. That doesn't make you go and challenge them. But you live in supremacy, in spirit realm, to people that don't know God. Now that sounds really kind of, I don't know what the word is, arrogant maybe, but this is the truth. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. In existence. That ever was and ever shall be. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised. Not only, I mean, if you're in love with celebrity, man, you're going low. You're aiming low. If you're in love with celebrity and you want to have a hero in your life, you're aiming low. Not that there are great examples of people, I'm not knocking celebrities, but you are aiming low. Aim high. God has put everything. So I missed. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. Oh, we need this, we need that, we need the other, we need. He alone is all that we need in the church. If we haven't got him, we've got zero, zippo, zilch, nothing. God has put everything beneath. Is there anything he's put? Is there anything he hasn't put underneath his feet? Is there anything he hasn't put underneath his feet? No. He's put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. I don't know how many times we need to hear this, but obviously the writer feels that we needed to hear it a few times. And now we, his church, okay, we, his church, are his body on the earth. That which fills him who is being filled by it. Whew. My time is up. But I'm just going to steal a few more minutes, if that's okay. Because it's really quite important. You and I know, many of us know, some of us maybe don't know, that whatever, and it's been already said this morning, whatever our circumstances, we have hope. Okay? Now, we can have hope like we have hope that you stand at a bus stop long enough, a bus will come. Or you stand on a train platform and a train will come. But with a bus, you know, you might wait ages and then two or three will come together. God's not like that. It's a constant, constant, constant flow of hope. And it's not the hope that's vain hope that something might happen. It's a certain hope that something has because it already has, because he's already rose from the dead. He's already washed us clean with his precious blood. He's already done the things we need to live. It says in here, everything the church needs is in Christ. So if we as individuals get under the towel and the steam, as a church we can get under the towel and the steam. And when we have 21 days of prayer, we can get under the towel and steam. And I'm not making it, not trying to make it sound a negative thing. This is, Ralph said it was invigorating. How about that? Let's have some spiritual invigoration. Excuse me. You see, when we talk about spiritual hope that comes from God, our Father, not the hope that we have, the vain human hope that we hope something good might happen, or something might come along and change things. This hope is dynamic. And you are at the center of it because God has put you at the center of it. And you can be a purveyor, a communicator, a liver of hope. So our series is about repurposing for hope. I would suggest that hope repurposes us. I would suggest it's the other way around here. Hope repurposes us. So if we've been going through tough times, and I know many have for lots of different kinds of tough times, hope will repurpose us. It repurposes me, and it's going to repurpose you. Because God never lets go. I don't know what you've been robbed of lately. I don't know what you feel you've been robbed of. Time, family, maybe bereavements, all sorts of things like that. You may feel robbed. Your job may have changed beyond recognition. And you might feel robbed of that. Well, there's hope today. And if I want anything, if I were to say, Lord, this is what I would like, but I don't, I say, what do you like? But if it was that people go from here today with a, not the same hope you had last week, there may be nothing wrong with the hope you had last week, but a refreshed, invigorated hope today. And I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures before I close. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says this about hope. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I love that scripture, but I just want to make one comment about it, in that it's in under an older covenant, and it's him giving us hope. What we've been reading about this morning is hope already in us. Yeah? Oh, I'm glad you've seen that. It's hope that's already here. We're not grasping for hope. Oh, give me hope, give me hope, give me hope. Because if you stop and your head's under the towel and you're in the steam, hope will fill you. You'll realize it's there and you don't have to reach very far for it. Just let him, let his hope rise up in you. As I said earlier, it's dynamic and it's reproductive, because when you start living this hope, you will change and people around you will change. You are good news. Romans chapter 15 verse 13 says this. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect... You might have to turn me down, I don't know. Fill you with overflowing. Overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continue to surround your life. Now this is it. With his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Win-win. Win-win. Till you radiate with hope. Do you know it's possible to go through the worst of circumstances and still radiate with hope? If you let your circumstances consume, I don't mean become kind of so impervious and so brick wall-like that nothing touches you. That's human. That's what human hope failed does. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's sickness when you can't reach out to others because your circumstances are so bad. God doesn't have any of it. He comes in and he overflows and you radiate with hope. Now, I'm not trying to preach a super faith message here, like nothing touches us, because we do have real trials and difficulties. That's when we go under the blanket or under the towel and into the steam. I love that now. That's going to become one of my little phrases. Then this... Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19, I think, is at the core of what I've said this morning. We have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor. Okay, I'm going to have to read this a couple of times. It's made me weep when I suddenly dawned on me what this verse was saying this week. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened into the mercy seat of the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. Man, that is just... Doesn't that grip you? That this is like at the hope at the core of everything. I'm going to read it again. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. It's not really about you, is it? Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. That's going right into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Some of you, forgive me, you may not, and I haven't got time to explain it, but this is at the very heart of God's presence. Hope lies there. It's not an add-on after. It's not an added benefit of being a Christian. This is at the very, very, very core. And if you haven't got this, I'm not sure what you've got. But you've got to have this. You've got to have this hope that comes from the heart and the core of God. If you don't have it, you've got something else which is inferior. I'm very, very happy to say that. It's inferior to this. Well, my time is over. I want us to sing by way of a response. Are we okay to sing this song? I don't know if you're still with us in Zoom and anywhere else, but I want us to sing this song because for me, this song says a lot about hope, about human hope contrasting God's hope. There's a line in that says, "Now let the weak be made strong." There's a line in that says, "Hope lost be renewed." You know, if you feel that you're not in the place I've been talking about, which seems super bouncy and high, all I want to do is encourage you to receive that hope. And it looks different for everyone. But what it will do, it may not make you jump up and down. It might do, but it might make you feel strong inside. It might make you feel less weak inside, but it will give you hope that God is for you, not against you.